Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm very well indeed. I've never been to the south of France. Is it everything that's cracked up to be?
Well, I've never been either. I just got here last Friday to do a corporate show, which was, so of course they fly you over, so that's fantastic. Yes, I think it is everything it's cracked up to be. It's very, very beautiful.
Fantastic.
And it's very much, we're in a house looked out over the very, very extremely calm ocean like I've never seen before. And we just watch yachts. They just come in and out, and they kind of sit there, and we just watch them with binoculars and try to figure out who's on them and what they're doing. And so it's kind of like watching a slow movie. So, yes, it is. It's very, very interesting here. And, of course, you wish you spoke French, but you don't. So you just have to kind of go with it, pretend that you understand.
It sounds idyllic. Tell you what I'm reading about you at the moment. Tell me about Harry Styles at the Troubadour the other night, about a month ago. How did all that unfold?
Well, Harry Styles is, you know, as I am a big fan of Harry's, I think he's a fan of me, and he comes well with Fleetwood Mac shows. And Miss Fleetwood has absolutely adopted him because he's the tall, skinny young man that Nick always wanted to have a son because there's just women in his family, right? And so he always wanted the son, and I think he's adopted Harry. So it's Harry Styles Fleetwood now. And Harry just likes us, you know. So he comes to our shows. And he called and asked me if I would come and sing at the Troubadour with him. And I'm like, well, but sure I will. But what? Sing what? And why are you asking me? Because I know we're friends and everything. And he said, because I'm, you know, doing this and alone. And I would just love it if you would come and, like, do this with me. It would just be... And I knew what he was saying. It's like it would make me feel better and stronger. And I said, I will be there. What do you want to do? And so he has a song called Two Ghosts, and I sang Two Ghosts with him, and I had to learn it. So that was fun and difficult, but I did it. And then he sang That Side with Me and Leather and Lace with Me. Which when he said he'd like to do Leather and Lace, I'm like, are you sure? That's not that. I said, that's a hard song, but if you want to do it, then go for it. And God bless him, he learned it. And his voice is high enough that he was able to really do it. And I think the most precious moment was Landslide. Because I think that, you know, Landslide means a lot to a lot of the younger kids. And for him to sing it, and be, you know, when you're singing it, the person that wrote it, it's like you're feeling it, and you're feeling probably everything that I met when I wrote it, you know, and he got all that. And I think it did help him to have me there that night. So it's just a really nice thing when something like that happens. Because, you know, as a woman in her late 60s, to have somebody that, you know, oh my God, he's like 22 years old. I'm not even sure. But he's kind of an old soul. But
exactly.
To have somebody like that and call, ask him, say, come and play the Troubadour, which Lindsay and I played the Troubadour in, like, 1974, literally a year before Fleetwood Mac. It's so crazy. And to stand on the same stage, you know, and it's very similar. The Troubadour looks exactly like it did in the 70s.
That's incredible.
So it's like, it's a little deja vu, you know, you feel like, have I been here before? Yes, I have.
And that's the wonderful thing about the video, which has all gone viral because everyone thinks it's fantastic. But to see him, he was in awe of you. And it must bring you so much joy to know that what you've done and what you do makes or means something to the next generation of musicians.
It does. It really warms your heart, you know. It's like, I feel like I have all these, like, wonderful children, you know, that I can really teach. And I can tell them stories, and I can give them little heads up on what to do and what not to do in a really sweet kind of old motherly way. And it's really good for me because I didn't have any children, you know. So it's like I feel with a lot of, you know, the people that I'm really good friends with that are, and Harry's one of the youngest, that it's really a passing of the torch, you know, in a lot of ways. It's like, I believe in Harry Styles. I think he's really good. I think he's funny. I think he's a good actor. I think that he has the world at his fingertips, and he's going in the right way. And I'm really happy for him, and I'm glad to be a part of that, you know. So yeah, it makes me feel like everything I've done over the last 40 years.
So you would argue he's the real deal. Do you think that there are still the same quality of musicians coming through, or they're just happening to be winners of a lot of talent shows on television?
No, I think that there's just as many talented people out there today as there were in the early 1970s when the scene I started working. I think that all the, the Fleetwood Macs and the Led Zeppelins and the Chicago and the, all the big bands, say, from the 70s, I think they're all out there right now. They're there in Australia. They're here in France. They're all over. And I think it's just extremely hard to break through now because of the streaming and the computers and the internet and when people take your music, you're not getting the kind of publishing that you get. The publishing is the thing that is, when I first joined Fleetwood Mac, it was like somebody said to me, never sell your publishing. Never. Die first. And that's because that's your pension, And today it's like, your music is like, you sign your music up to be like a, pay a certain amount of money, the less for people to have your music. And it's like, so if even if you're in a big band and you write big songs, you're still not making near the kind of money that we were making, for instance, or anybody that was writing in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s were making, because it's not paid for in the same way. So it's much, much harder for all those really talented kids to break through. And I think that that's tragic, because it's like they're all gonna, they won't make it. A lot of kids won't make it because no matter how hard they try, they won't be able to like have a job and then also play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night at at a bar. And trying to make this music thing that they have happen because they have to support themselves. They're 21. Their parents are like, hey, get a job. And that's how my parents were. It was like when I quit college, they were like, okay, we are now withdrawing all financial support.
Well,
and I said, okay, I know. I'm broke now. It makes, but then I moved to Los Angeles and I did get a job. We didn't get a job, but I did. I got a bunch of jobs to support us for the next 4 years until we joined Mac while we were making our demos and making Buckingham Nets. But that was like, we kind of knew what to do, We had to come up with a song and we had to go and play, play for record companies and they say like, well, we don't like your band, but we like you. And we like Lindsay, and so, write some more songs and come back in 6 months. So kind of like, you kind of knew what to do, but I don't think that people know what to do now. I don't think that the kids have any idea what to do now.
Well, I'll tell you what, in your case, it worked out okay, didn't it? I mean, a few rough rides
it
along
did.
The way, but I mean, in general, it worked out okay.
It did. It worked out very well.
Tell us about you and Chrissy. How did this come together?
Well, it's so fantastic because it really was one of my ideas because, they say, so who do you want to open for you? And I'm like, well, what about this person, And they're like, well, okay, we're going to contact everybody. So they contact a lot of people. And Chrissy Hynde, unbeknownst to me, and I didn't think she'd do it, honestly. She said, sure, I'd love to do it. And I said, well, because we would love to have you. And I said, I worked very hard to never, ever, ever let Chrissy Hynde feel like she was opening the TV. I feel like it's like two very powerful women from the 1970s that are taking the world by storm. And that's what this tour has done. 48 shows we've done in the United States has just been like so great. And she is amazing. And she and I have become really good friends. And that is interesting because Chrissy doesn't just like everybody. And she's not really friends with everybody. And she, for some reason, likes me. And I like her. And so together, we're pretty great. And she comes on in my set and sings along with me. And it's very funny because we both just bring out the best of each other. It's kind of strange. But I think that Australia will be very... You're not Australia. You're New Zealand.
Yeah.
New Zealand will be very happy to see this show with both of us because it really is an all-powerful girl show.
Fantastic. Where is, actually, I interviewed, maybe a month ago, I interviewed Lindsay Buckingham with his duo thing, and we were talking about the duo and the solo work and the Fleetwood Mac and everything. You all seem to do over the years your own thing, but then eventually you get back together, and presumably you will do that at some point.
I think that probably, the mid next year I'll be done with my thing, and then it will rotate itself back. And also, listen, this is a discipline thing. When I come there, I'm just so hoping that Lauren will be there, because the last time that Fleetwood Mac was there, she and her parents came, and she didn't even tell me she was coming, and they stood out in the rain for like a 3-hour show. And I just hope she hears this interview so that she knows that she better come backstage and let me pay for her ticket.
She will. She'll hear it, and I'm sure we'll sort something out. Lovely to talk to you, Stevie. Looking forward to seeing you here. Take care.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you.